I want to introduce to you Nick and Marilyn Crate, Abigail and Joshua, their daughter and son, missionaries to Palau. Amen. We used to support Ricky Saldara. That's Marilyn's dad. And we picked them up very early on. And what a joy. We love Ricky very much. My wife, first time we met him, she said, "We're going to support them." And I said, "Yes, ma'am, because I'm smart. I know which side of the bread my butter's on." And then when Nick and Marilyn was going, we picked them up also so that we could be a part of what God is doing through them. So without anything further from me, I'm going to ask Nick and his family to come on up, and they're going to be sharing what God is doing, what God has done. Amen. What a beautiful family. Y'all just obey the Lord. Whatever He tells you to do, you do. The water's for you if you need it.
The Tao. Or we would also say, Dios lo megamu, which means good morning and God bless each and every one of you. It's a little bit of Palawan for you this morning, since lots of people like to know what it sounds like. So it's good to be here. Thank you so much for being vital partners to the iHeart Palau team and being so faithful all these years to praying and supporting us so that we can do the ministry that God's called us to.
Craig family, and it is a joy to be with you guys this morning. I just want to say thank you. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts for not only just praying for us, but for giving to missions and for loving on your missionaries. Thank you so much for investing in yet another generation of missionaries. Like Pastor said, my parents were Ricky and Maria Saldana. They were missionaries to the country of Honduras for over 23 years, and it is wonderful to continue on the legacy of preaching the gospel around the world. And he is not done yet, and we are so thankful that you are a part of what he is doing in Palau. We cannot do what God has called us to do without faithful supporters and a team that is here back home helping us and encouraging us and doing the groundwork here as well. And so when I was 10 years old, I was Joshua's age. We were itinerating here in South Carolina, just like we are now. And somebody told me that my name was in a magazine. And they used to put missionary kids' birthdays in a Mountain Movers magazine. And so I was all excited. My name was in this magazine. So I'm like flipping through the pages looking for my name. And as I'm looking for my name, I came across a one-page article on the island nation of Palau. Had never heard of this country, caught my eye. I stopped to read the page, and by the time I had finished reading that page, I looked at my mom and I had said, "Someday, I'm going to be a missionary to Palau." Fast forward 19 years in 2012. Amen. Give him glory. In 2012, 19 years after I read that page, we landed in Palau as a family. Talk about a dream come true. Talk about an emotional day, a day that we waited for so long. But it has been so wonderful to see what God has done and what he is continuing to do in this small island. And maybe you're wondering, well, where is Palau? I've never even heard of it. So Joshua, can you tell everybody where Palau is?
Palau is 500 miles southeast of the Philippines, and if you draw a line straight down from Japan, you'll find Palau.
So it's a small little island in Micronesia, about 20,000 people. Some people say 18,000 people, and so very small dot on the map. If you blink, you might miss it, but it has become home. God has done great things. He's opened doors in the public schools, for us to do ministry in the public schools where we can share freely with the students, with parents, with teachers alike, and do seminars with the students. We opened up throughout the community, from Bible studies to ministry to internationals, and we're so excited to share what he is doing in Palau and what you are a part of. So once again, thank you from the bottom of our hearts, and God bless you guys.
Amen. Thank you. It's a joy to be able to share God's word this morning. Am I on? Can you guys hear me? You're on? Okay, I can't hear me, but you can hear me, so that's good. I don't need to hear me, I guess so. But it's such a joy to be able to share God's word with you this morning. So if you don't mind, let's just go before the Lord in prayer, and we'll take these next few minutes together, and I'm going to share a little bit about what God is doing in Palau, but kind of share a scripture that goes along with what he's doing. So, Lord, we just thank you for this amazing day. Thank you that we could be here this morning amongst your faithful followers. We thank you for all that you are doing here in Rock Hill, here in South Carolina, Honduras, Palau, all over the world. Lord, you are at work. And even when we don't see it, you're working. And even when we don't feel it, you're working, Lord. And we thank you. And we ask that you would just be with us, Holy Spirit, in these next few moments together. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I don't know if you've heard this expression, but it's been said that you and I are kind of like microwave people. Now, that expression may be dying out because microwaves now are becoming obsolete with things like the Instapot. They're even faster. But, you know, that we're a microwave people. We love to just hit the button and things are done. But the expression goes that our God is like a crockpot God. Now, if you think about that for a minute, how it's very true to our lives, because really in our culture today, especially our generation, you know, and the generation behind us, is that we want everything instantaneously. On our phones, in our apps, we can order everything we want, get everything we want. You know, we get Prime shipping, so which means sometimes we can get it the same day before COVID. Now it's, you know, we got to wait 2 days now. It's terrible. But, you know, we can get things instantaneously. We can get in our cars and go do our laundry, go do our banking, get our groceries, go ahead and get a bite to eat too, and then head home without ever leaving our driver's seat. And so everything is about convenience, but sometimes that comes into our spiritual life and God's like, hey, I just want things to simmer for a little bit. Why are you in such a rush? Because the rest of our life is like, go, 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 I can get it now. We need something shipped. Oh, expedite, and we'll pay a little bit extra to have that done. But God, there's no expedite button when it comes to our walk with the Lord. And so God is trying to teach us sometimes that, hey, I am doing something, but you're just in a little bit too much of a hurry to see what's happening. And not too long ago, I was reading through the Psalms, and when I got to Psalms 106, I couldn't get away from it. I studied it for days, you know, if not longer. And, you know, Psalms 106 is kind of a synopsis of the history of Israel. It kind of goes from beginning to end, and it talks about the good and a lot of the bad that they did. But in the middle of that chapter, in Psalm 106:13, we read these verses, and it says this: "But they soon forgot what he had done and did not wait for his plan to unfold." I'll say it again. "But they soon forgot what he had done and did not wait for his plan to unfold." You know, if we're honest with ourselves, sometimes this mentality can sneak into our lives. We don't wait for God's plans to unfold in our lives. And sometimes we get a little impatient. We wonder why God is taking so long to fulfill the things that we believe he's called us to, or that we believe the word says he is and supposed to be doing. And so we struggle with it. So this morning, I want to look at the story of Israel real quick, especially the time when they come out of Egypt. Now, you know, if you're watching online or you're a visitor or a new believer, you know, sometimes the stories that we read in Scripture can be, maybe they seem a little too incredible. But, you know, as a faithful follower, Lord, I believe wholeheartedly that what we read in Exodus actually happened. But if you have a struggle believing it, that's okay. But I just want you to go with the story, because there's something powerful that happens in here that can teach us a valuable lesson today. And so, you know, think about for the moment the children of Israel. For 450 years, they were slaves in Egypt. Now, these were people that were promised through their ancestors, Abraham. God had promised Abraham, their ancestor, that God would give them this big, beautiful land where they would spread out and they would have everything they would need of. Well, these same people that had heard these promises have been stuck in slavery for over 400 years. Where's the promises, God? Where's the microwave button to get us out of this situation? And God raises up a man named Moses, and Moses becomes the leader of the Israelites, and God uses Moses kind of like a thorn in the flesh for Pharaoh and says, hey, God wants his people out of here. Let's go. And because Pharaoh was stubborn, they had to witness 10 plagues that God brought upon the land of Egypt. Now, imagine being an Israelite. You know, the first couple plagues it says in the book of Exodus that actually affected them too, but by about plague number 3 or 4, God kind of sheltered them from everything that he was doing, and now they were just eyewitnesses of the chaos that was happening to their Egyptian neighbors. And God would bring darkness and hail and boils on their skin, and he was killing the flocks and he was killing the plants. I mean, he was devastating Egypt until Pharaoh would finally let him go. And because he was so stubborn, we finally get to the point where God allowed the firstborn of every child to be born, to die, except for the Israelites. And that's where we get the Passover, where they paint the blood over their doorposts and the angel passes over. And so here they witness some of the most incredible miracles we can read in Scripture. They were eyewitnesses of it. And finally, they're also eyewitnesses of the time when Pharaoh says, get out of here. I'm done. And so imagine about 1 million people, an entire people group saying, we finally are free. We get to go to the promised land. We're so excited for what God wants to do and is doing. And so they were jumping and screaming. They were having the greatest worship service in the history of mankind because God was finally fulfilling what he was doing. And, you know, they were probably on their journey for a few days. And then they decided that they would go right up into the Red Sea and have a camp out there. So things were going pretty good because they needed to fill up their canteens and water bottles and stuff because they were getting a little thirsty out there in the wilderness. Well, as they're at the Red Sea, they're all camping out and having a pretty good time until the guy in the back of the camp. See, the guy in the back of the camp, he drew the short straw. He was the last one, but he was back there and he heard something that sounded like thunder. And as the thunder was roaring, he looked up into the sky, but it was clear. And then he saw not clouds in the sky, but a dust cloud on the ground. And he realized that the sound of thunder was actually the sound of horse hooves. And he recognized Pharaoh and his army coming straight after him. You know, this is the only time in history where the telephone game worked through 1 million people and didn't get interrupted. Because the message was A, simple, and 2, it was kind of panic. And they said, we're going to die! And this message got passed all the way to the front to where Moses was. And panic ensued in the camp, and they all cried out to Moses, was it because there wasn't enough graves in Egypt that you brought us all the way out here? Yes, that is actually what happened, because, you know, God just wanted to do all these miracles to bring you out here and kill you out here. That's exactly God's plan. Notice the sarcasm. Okay. And so obviously they're panicking, and they cry out to Moses, and they cry out to God. Well, if you've read this story, you know, if you grew up in church, you know the story, but so Moses takes his rod and the sea just splits open. And the people are able to walk across on dry land. You know, for any of us that have been in church for quite some time, we know this story by heart. You know, we've learned it since Sunday school. But imagine an entire people group crossing over on dry land to the other side. And then as they turn around and watch their Egyptian enemies come after them, God just washes them away. Never would they have to worry about their enemies again. And again, the greatest worship party ever ensued. And they just forgot about all the troubles they just went through. And they were excited. Thank you, God. And, you know, they were throwing all kinds of praises around and shouting and exclaiming God's goodness and greatness. You would think that these people that just witnessed what happened in Egypt and these people that just witnessed what they walked through, they literally walked through a sea on dry ground with a wall of water on either side. You would think that these would be the most faithful followers of God in history. You would think that, but they weren't. Because in a few days they got thirsty again and they cried out to God. The water was bitter. They cried out to God. Then they got hungry. They cried out to God. And this kind of mentality continued in their lives on and on until they finally got to the place where the promised land was. And because of the bitterness in their spirit and because they lacked the obedience and the faithfulness in what God was calling them to do, 10 out of 12 men who spied out the land said, whoa, we can't go in there. These guys are big. We can't take them. An entire generation of followers fell away because they did not believe that they could go in into the land that God promised them and defeat the enemies that were before them. An entire generation was lost in the wilderness because of a lack of faith. You see, you would think that people like this that have experienced God in powerful ways would be able to get to the next step and be like, oh, well, he did it back there. I bet he's going to do it here. But how many of you are like me when that doesn't usually happen? You know, as a missionary, usually you would think, oh, I bet you guys are like full of faith. Well, I'm glad you think that. You know, Pastor kind of built us up on a pedestal this morning, but we're not all that special. And we struggle through the same kinds of things that you guys struggle through, and we struggle through faith. You know, when we face a shortfall in our finances, we don't immediately go, oh, this is great. This is a great time for God to just pull through for us. No, usually we're like, God, why are we going through this again? Right? But God does always pull through. You know, and just a few years ago, just about a couple years ago, my wife and I faced what we would call our Red Sea moment. It was that moment when we were traveling on the journey that we believe God called us to, but we were hemmed in by a sea and the enemy behind us. And we had to face reality, and we had to face, what are we going to do? You know, when we got to Palau, we only took with us the 6 years of children's ministry experience that we had. We were children's pastors. That's what we did. And so, you know, we hit the ground running and we helped start children's ministry in the One Assemblies of God Church there in Palau. And we were able to pour into them and raise up leaders. And we redid a couple rooms to have a nursery and preschool space. And we were investing in the church. And, you know, some of the same leaders that we poured into are still leading that same children's ministry today. And so it was fruit that's given off, you know, a great harvest. And so we're excited for what God was doing. And then he began opening up the doors for us in the public schools. And we were thrilled with the open doors that God was giving us. We were able to invest in teachers and students and parents. We were doing after-school programs and school assemblies, leadership programs for 7th and 8th graders. And, you know, God was just giving us all kinds of creativity and open doors to minister amongst the public schools there in Palau. Yet, while all this was happening, the Holy Spirit had been planting seeds in our heart. You see, ever since the beginning when we first arrived in Palau, God had kind of been bumping up against us, the internationals that lived there in Palau. You know, it's a small nation, but there's a lot of people that come from all over the world. We have Europeans, Americans, we have, you know, Australians, and people from Africa, and people from all over Asia. You know, just about every part of Asia is represented there in Palau. People from South America, you know, there's a couple, you know, there may be small parts, but they're there. And we had been seeing that there is no church reaching this group. You see, there's churches reaching the Palauans, and there's churches reaching the Filipinos, and there's a few others, but there's nobody reaching all of these people that are here. And God had been burdening our hearts to open up a church that would reach all of these people that are untapped, that don't have access to the gospel, that nobody is reaching out to. And so we began dreaming, and we began envisioning, and we began planning, and we began talking, and, you know, we were getting excited until it came to the process of kind of, you know, making that pitch, saying, hey, here's what we want to do, and, you know, this is what we believe God has called us to. Well, guess what? Flat, straight brick wall. We just ran into it. And no matter how hard we tried, no matter how well we articulated our vision, nothing was going forward. It was like the train was on the tracks, but there was nothing going forward. There was nothing moving. And, you know, there was times where, yeah, we struggled in our faith. There was times where we asked God, God, did we hear you right? Was this really what you wanted us to do? And no matter how much we prayed, we believed that this is what God was calling us to. And so a couple of years ago, that's when we came to that point of, okay, God, if this is really what you want, then, you know, you've got to open up some things for us. And so my wife and I just privately for ourselves, we called the time of prayer and fasting. Actually, it wasn't too private because we put it on Facebook and asked people just to pray with us. And we just said, you know what? We need to hear from God. We need to make sure that, you know, we're doing exactly what God has called us to, because, you know, we're facing some things that we don't know how to go through with them. And so as we fasted and prayed, God began opening up our hearts even more. You see, there's such a need to reach this community that I was talking about. But as we were praying, it was as if God was saying, well, okay, so those doors are closed, but where can you go? What can you do? And you know, about 20 years ago, the Assemblies of God started a preaching point about an hour's north from the main church. It's about as far as you can get on our tiny little island by car. And up there has been a group of people that have, over the years, have come and gone, and it had dwindled down to about three ladies. That's all that was meeting on Sunday mornings. The church had stopped sending any kind of leadership up there, and so for a few months, it was just three ladies meeting together, praying and trying to encourage each other, but they were asking God to send somebody to help them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. They needed somebody to tend to the flock, so to speak. And you know, as we began to pray, God just began impressing in our hearts that, hey, these people need a pastor. They've never really had a pastor to go up there full time to minister to them. And so God put it in our hearts as a family to go and reach these people. And so for the last 18 months of our time in Palau, we went up there as a family. And I have to tell you that this was the most incredible experience that our family has ever witnessed. He took a family of children's pastors and took them up to a church to lead the people. And it's been exciting because not only has the church grown from three ladies, but the first Sunday they invited all the kids to come because they heard the children's pastors were coming. And so by week two, we started children's ministry. And, you know, we've had about 30 people a part of the church ever since. And so it's been exciting to see the growth, and it's been exciting to see what God was doing. But here's the thing. We would have never gotten there if we would have never bumped up into the walls. You see, if we wouldn't have faced the frustrations, God would have never gotten our attention to the point where he said, hey, there's a need I need you to take care of. There's something I want you to do. And you might be asking yourself, does that mean that God tells us to do stuff, but he doesn't really mean for us to do it? No, I don't believe that at all. I still strongly believe God's calling us to open up an international church in his time. But in the process of getting to a certain place in our faith walk, we will bump up into red seas. And it's in those moments that God challenges us to say, are you going to turn around and quit, or are you going to keep marching forward? And we have to ask ourselves, well, where can we go? All we see is sea in front of us and an army behind us. But as we march forward, you know, God has done beautiful things in those 18 months that we were there. God has instilled a passion for the community and for missions in the heart of our little church. And God has also raised up some amazing people. We were able to baptize seven people into the kingdom, two of which were a couple named Yohei and Tammy. You see, when we first started the church, we did an Easter outreach. And we were able to do it at the local school that's really a stone's throw away from the church because of our relationship with the principals and what we have done. And we asked them, hey, can we do our Easter outreach on your campus? And they said, yeah, go ahead. And so we invited a couple schools to come, and it was great. And Yohei and Tammy were one of the teachers, and they came, and they brought their family, but we didn't see them for the rest of 2019. But that year was a rough year for that family. And at the end of the year, they said, we have to get our family into church. We have to turn our lives around. And literally the first Sunday in January 2020, they brought their family to the church, and they were faithful every single week. You see, the world was going through pandemic, but God was touching hearts and changing lives. You see, Yohei and Tammy not only recommitted their lives to the Lord, but they also became faithful helpers as we were renovating the church and trying to get things up to par. And so they were a huge help. They would come on Saturdays. They would come on the weekdays when they could. And God was just doing incredible things. And, you know, in March, when the whole world basically shut down and, you know, Palau was COVID-free, but still they were taking precautions, they said, man, we want to get baptized. And we're like, we'll do it. And so we drove up there just on a weekday, and we said, hey, let's just go to right near your house by the local beach, and we'll baptize you. And so we were able to baptize Yohei and Tammy right there and just commit them to the Lord. And God has done great things in this little family. You know, it's for the Yohei and Tammys that we do what we do. Because if other people aren't receiving the gospel, and if they don't catch the vision for what God wants to do, the church passes away. If we don't reach new people. You see, the Assemblies of God has been in Palau for over 30 years now. But we still have yet to raise up one pastor. No Palawan pastors. And so our heart is burdened to go back not only to build a church, but to build the church, because there is a great need for leaders in Palau to rise up and say, hey, I want to lead my people into what God's word says. And so there's still a great need, but we're excited because we know that God is going to make a pathway, even when it seems like the path is impossible. And so even right now in the midst of 2020, God has done incredible things. And so we are excited for what he's going to do. But you know, the truth is that this is our story and what God has done for us in Palau. But today you might be like, well, that's great, missionary. I'm so excited for what God's doing, but you don't know my situation. And you know what? I don't, but I know who does. And the truth is that God wants to split open the Red Seas that you're facing right now. The truth is that God wants you to walk through on dry ground in the midst of what you're facing. You may feel just like the Israelites, that you're hemmed in by a sea and an army chasing you down, ready to kill you. But God is greater. God wants us in these moments to surrender to him and to depend on him. He wants us not to reach for the button on the microwave to try and expedite things and say, God, get me out of here. Beam me up out of this situation. He wants us to say, okay, God, I'm in the middle of the mess. Where do I go from here? What path am I supposed to take? And that's the hardest thing. But you know what? That's where we grow. That's where we're in the middle of the crock pot and the juices of the meat just start flowing through. I'm making you salivate, ready for lunch, I know. But that's where things begin to cook for us, and that's where things begin to grow for us. Trust me, we've had microwave meals. They're not that great, are they? They work in a pinch, but you put something in the crock pot and it's the best you've ever had. And that's where God wants us. That's where he makes us the best that we can be. Yes, he can use us when we press the microwave button, but it's not as good. You know, the truth is, no matter what we do, we cannot expedite God's plans for our lives. And in the middle of your situation, I want to read this scripture to you in Exodus. I shared the story to you about the Israelites, but I want to read this because sometimes we forget. In Exodus 14, 1 through 4 says this, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Pi Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea. They are to encamp by the sea, directly opposite Baal Zephon. Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them.'" So God's pretty much telling them exactly what they did. But this is the key verse in all of this. It says, "But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord." So the Israelites did this. Sometimes we forget that it's actually God leading us to the Red Sea. He has a plan in the middle of it all. In fact, God has a plan for every single one of our lives. Big or small, missionary or pastor or bank worker or teacher or stay-at-home mom, whatever it might be, God has a plan for every single one of us. But here's the thing. When things don't go exactly the way we feel like they're supposed to, we panic. Oh my goodness, this isn't what I thought was supposed to happen as I followed God. Well, don't panic. Just because things don't go the way we think they should doesn't mean they're not going the way God wants them to go. So don't panic in our situations. But sometimes God's plans get disrupted and, you know, we're not sure what to do and we're not sure where we're supposed to go. Well, it's in those moments that we have to seek the Lord. You see, instead of panicking and crying out to Moses and everything else, if they would have just stopped and sought the Lord, they would have realized that God had a plan and a purpose through it all. So in the midst of your situation, seek the Lord. Ask him, God, what is it that you want to do through this situation? And finally, importantly, is sometimes we just stop and we think that God's not going to do anything anymore, so we just kind of quit on the whole process. But that's the worst thing we can do. The best thing we can do to see God's plan is to keep moving, to keep allowing God to do what he wants to do in the process. Because when he does, instead of throwing out the baby with the bathwater, God does something incredible. In fact, what he does is he fulfills his plans. And not only does he fulfill his plans, in case you're wondering, he does it in his timing. God is up to incredible things. 2020, it's been like the Red Sea of Red Seas, and there's been a Pharaoh, we've been surrounded by armies. Not just with the pandemic, but everything that's going on in our country and our world. Sometimes we can feel like, is God still, like, does he see what's going on? I know we've all had those moments this past year of doubt and wondering what God is up to. But I'm here to tell you that God is up to incredibly more than we can ever think or imagine. And your situation has not gone unnoticed by him. And whatever you're facing, he sees the church and he sees your needs and he sees your family and he sees what's going on. He's not abandoned you. He simply wants to grow you and infuse those flavors in you as you simmer through this situation. And I can tell you through experience that God is going to split open your Red Sea and he is going to get all the glory. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for every single person here. I thank you that you are the God that you're not selfish, but you desire to gain glory through all of our lives. You desire to get the credit for everything that happens, and you should, because you put us here. And Lord, I know that with all the different people in this room, the situations and the stories are vastly different, but you're the same. And I ask, Lord, that no matter what these people are facing today, or those watching online, they could be facing incredible, terrible circumstances, Lord. And they feel like the Israelites did, hemmed in between a sea and an army, not knowing what to do. But in the name of Jesus right now, I speak life in these situations. I say and declare, Lord, that you would split open the Red Seas in these situations, that you would open up a pathway that seemed impossible before. Lord, that we would be able to walk on dry ground where there was a sea before us. And we would be able to turn around and see our enemies completely obliterated by you. Those things that were coming after us, those things that were trying to destroy us, those things that were nipping at our heels and we couldn't get away from, may we see them drown in the sea that is right before us right now. We ask, Jesus, that you would do incredible things this year. Lord, that you would receive the glory in incredible situations and circumstances, that as a church, we would be able to declare to the community and to the world, look what God has done despite all that is going on around us. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would move in our hearts, give us peace in the midst of the situations. Help us not to panic. Help us to seek you. And may we keep moving forward and may you receive the glory as we pass through the other side. In Jesus' name, amen.